As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Friday, March the 18th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, at least news. Hard facts, that's for sure. And workable solutions, when we can find them and where we can find them. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, buddy, you're not alone. But you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark BecomeVocalLocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in area code 512-904-8014. You join me live on air from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. A big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 101.1, FM, Austin, Texas, Real Liberty Media, Channel 16, Talkstream Live. Could you go on forever? Yeah, I could. I love this list. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting. Become Vocal Local. Your local listening audiences, our calling number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals stabilized. Libya targeted for destruction and regime change. Green energy concerns gain as the nuclear power vilifiers howl. Libya has 48 hours. Part 12, trust. We talk about venue a little bit today. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into a market report for this morning. Again, active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, about an hour ago. Gold was at $1,418 even, up $14 at airtime. Gold, $1,418 even, up exactly $14. How does that work out in this world? Silver up this morning, 87 cents at $35.10 an ounce. Platinum up $16 at $1,712. And palladium up $17 a troy ounce at $724. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,409 even for a low. $1,425 even for a high. I've never seen so many evens, even since I started following these numbers. Well, it's amazing, just hitting it in the right time, I guess. Anyway, your gold at $1,418 is up year-to-year $292.10 for a 25.94% return on your investment. The boys in London this morning ran up their little flags and dinged the bell and set the price at $1,415.50, and it's been above that, and it's been below that, and it's going all over the place. But it's looking good this morning. The SPDR gold shares, yeah, that's right, Barclays, Capital, State Street, Global Advisors, the boys in London, the Rothschilds, the SPDR gold shares this morning, unchanged. Very little activity going on in the SPDR for the last couple of weeks. Unchanged at 1,217.30 metric tons, valued on the street at $55 billion. We'll be right back.
U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Verona's called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Every day you hear the news. As an American citizen, I'm sure you're concerned. You may even feel like you have no control. Of course, you can't control things like natural disasters or the real estate meltdown, but these days, a number of Americans are returning to the practice of being self-reliant by keeping food and water in reserve. That's why you need BeFoodReady.com. BeFoodReady.com has high-quality, delicious foods that are savable and storable. The foods are dehydrated, so all you need to do is add water. They're made from premium-grade fresh raw fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and other high-quality ingredients. Our stuff is awesome, and it's available in single packets for less than $2 a serving. When you buy it in the packs, it can be 91 cents or less, depending on the package that you're getting. And these foods can be stored for as long as 15 years. Log on to our website to watch a short video, learn about our food selections, how to start your own business, and how you can try 6 meals for free. Log on to BeFoodReady.com.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, March the 18th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Butterflies welcome spring, I guess, this Sunday, March 20th, first day of spring. Bye-bye, wintertime. Good morning, spring, I guess is the way we could say that. Let's go to our market report for this morning again. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. For review for all those stations just joining us, gold found that up $14, trading up $14 at $1,418 even. Silver up 87 cents at $35.10 a troy ounce. Platinum up 16 bucks at $1,712 even. Palladium up 17 at $724. The lows on the highs in the gold spot market, once again, $1,409 for a low, $1,425 for a high. But at $1,418, your gold is up year-to-year at $292.10 for a 25.94% return on your investment. Again, the London gold fix this morning, $1,415.50. The SPDR gold shares unchanged overnight at $55 billion at these spot prices. They claim to be holding 1,217.30 metric tons in their electronic treasure chest. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 161 at 11,775. The NASDAQ closed up 19 at 2,636. The S&P 500 closed up 17 at 1,274. Lots of green ink on the market this morning. Crude oil, unfortunately, down 42 cents. At $101 even. What's with all of these zeros? I guess they ran out of digits and they're just down to zeros this morning. But anyway, that's at $101 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. West Texas Intermediate, some call it, delivered in Cushing at the Cushing Hub in Cushing, Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index this morning down 16 basis points at 75.81. 75.81, of course, that impacts the foreign exchange rates, where we find the Canadian loonie bumping up 21 basis points above parity with the U.S. dollar again, now at $1.01 U.S., the Mexican peso, driven home with 16 penny nails, is up 40 basis points, and yet still at 8 cents U.S. You can fill up your pockets with pesos at 8 cents a pop. The euro this morning up 78 basis points at $1.41 against the U.S. dollar. The British pound moves up 36 basis points, exchanges at $1.62, and the Swiss franc off, the only indicator that's down this morning, off 58 basis points at $1.11, still well above parity with the U.S. dollar. The bond market this morning, the yield on the two-year treasuries, the U.S. bonded indebtedness, 0.59%. That's your yield on the 2 years. The 10 years are yielding 3.28%, and the 30-year is at 4.46%. The mortgage market this morning, we find the 15-year fixed-rate mortgages moving down a little bit more from 4.23% a month ago to 4.00 this morning. Boy, they love the zeros today. 30-year mortgages moved down from 4.93% a month ago to 4.76%. So they're relaxing the interest rates on the mortgages to lure more buyers into the market, no doubt. The prime rate stands at 3.25%. Your gold-to-silver ratio is 40.40 ounces of silver, brings home 1 ounce of gold. In the Econoday calendar this morning, recovering from all of the collapses in the computing system yesterday. Wow, what an excitement that was. As I said on my show note, it was like juggling chainsaws and spitting cats. Man alive, the whole thing just melted down right as we came on air. But anyway, this morning, the Econoday calendar, we'll pick up what we left off yesterday with these three. We have the industrial production coming out, leading indicators, Philadelphia Fed survey, and the natural gas report. All of those came out yesterday after showtime began. Today, it's quadruple witching, nothing else in the news there, so let's go right into the reports from yesterday. The leading indicators highlights a decline in unemployment rates or unemployment claims helped give a big lift to the index of leading economic indicators. A decline in unemployment, as I've shared with you before, one of these days we'll come on here in the morning and we'll be proud to announce that we've only had one new individual signing up for unemployment. It'll be the last worker in America. We can just shut the lights off and put the fork in it. It'll be all over. But anyway, this morning, continuing, they say, well up from the prior month, 0.1% gain. The yield spread, reflecting the Fed's near zero policy rate at the short end, remains the index's leading strength. The yield spread. How do you like that? We all have a bit of a yield spread to deal with, don't we? Building permits, data released yesterday, were the report's biggest negative. Building permits. So they can give you a lot of hoodoo and voodoo and Ouija boards and crystal balls, but at the bottom of the pyramid here is building permits. This is out all across America. If there are no building permits being issued, if the building permit numbers are down, that means construction is down. It's not just down for today, it's down for 90 days or more. You're not building houses, you're not buying materials, you're not getting haircuts and shaves, and you're not buying gasoline, diesel, and lumber either. But anyway, it's down. It's the negative. While claims have continued to come down so far this month and short rates remain low, the March outlook for the index's other components is less certain. While everything else is down and remaining low, the other indices are less certain. Good God, doesn't sound good to me. Stock prices, a big plus in February, have been coming down, as did the mid-month reading on consumer sentiment. Well, there's lots of ways that an economist can write something, but that was not a good report, in case you missed it. Philadelphia Fed survey, sharp acceleration in new orders is boosting the assessment of business conditions in the Philly Fed's manufacturing sector. Sharp acceleration in new orders. I wonder what they're ordering. New orders jumped more than 16.5 points. That's 0.16, by the way. In the March reading to 40.3 above zero, to indicate month-to-month growth, and far above February to indicate a sharp month-to-month acceleration in growth. Other readings were also strong, but mostly do not show acceleration relative to February. Shipments are nearly unchanged at a very strong 34.9, so they've got a big stack of orders over here on their in basket, and their shipments are just about flat. Anyway, unfilled orders are unchanged. At a what is a very strong 14.9 for this reading, price data shows steady rates of pressure for both inputs and outputs. Delivery times show a slight easing in delays. Employment shows a slight month-to-month slowing in hiring. Inventories show a major build relative to February. In other words, they're still stacking them up in the warehouses. But you know you got to have buyers, folks. You can have all the inventory you want, but if you don't have a customer to sell it to, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. The EIA natural gas report. Natural gas in storage fell 56 billion cubic feet in March, the 11th week. A withdrawal of 40 billion cubic feet was expected. And as you know, they've closed down. They're running shorter on refinery output, and they're just kind of they're drawing down the reserves. As we go into the summertime, we'll need less and less natural gas for heating in reserve. Go into a little bit more here. Jump over to Japan. Out of the news basket at Sendai Hospitals. Now, you might take out an encyclopedia if you have one. You might take one out, or an atlas if you have one in your house. And if not, you can certainly find it on the Internet these days. If you're listening this morning on the Internet, and just take a look at the nation, if you will, of Japan. And follow all along the northern coast, the northeastern coast, the Pacific Ocean, and get your mind wrapped around the names of some of these towns. Sunday, we'll talk about it right after this.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so, once again, if you're out there listening on Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 100.1 FM, Austin, Texas, Real Liberty Media, Channel 16, or TalkStream Live. We do have a chat room there. It's becomevocallocal.com. Becomevocallocal.com. If you'd like to jump into the chat room and join us, you call the numbers. They're also 866-841-1065 from around America and around the world. All of our contact information can be found at becomevocallocal.com. But as we started in on this previous segment, I'm back up to the Bloomberg website here at Sendai. Sendai. S-E-N-D-A-I. Sendai. Japanese. Oh, yeah. Mushy, mushy. Honey. Anyway, Sendai hospitals. Victims go without painkillers and food. But let's think about this Fukushima. Now, that's what everyone heard about, you know, like for the first 3 or 4 days. It was all Fukushima Daiichi. All right. Which caused a little bit of consternation in my mind because of not being an expert on everything Japan, everything Nipponese. I had to go up and look at my encyclopedias, read the article, lengthy one, actually, on Japan. I find out a little bit more about it. But Fukushima, if you will, think of feudalism. It's a Ken. K-E-N is what they call it, a Ken. And there are several. But Fukushima, you might think of it as California. It's a state. Or a huge county, but a state in the nation, if you will, of Japan. All right? Fukushima. The capital of Fukushima is also titled or named Fukushima. And it may be a family name or something like that. A Ken, like a clan or a kin. Ki. K-E-N, kin, can. So it could be kin or can. And so it's rather interesting. But what is being obfuscated here, with all of the focus on Fukushima, or Fukushima, no one's telling you, if you look on the map, you know, where the hell is it? But if you look at the map and get it out and look at it, when they say at Sendai hospitals, we're talking about real close now. All right? Fukushima, of course, about 140, 150 miles northeast of Tokyo. And it's all right on the coast, but Fukushima itself, as we've mentioned previously during the week, is inland considerable. The town, inland and up and high and very safe and not at all impacted by the tsunami. That word, by the way, was coined by the Japanese, tsunami. We could say tidal wave here, and we used to say tidal wave. But anyway, at the Sendai hospitals, now this is very close to the power plant, victims go without painkillers and food. And I tried yesterday, I had it on the browser to share with you. I wanted to go through this slideshow and get a better understanding for the audience as to just what the real damages are out there. I mean, yeah, we can focus on the nuclear power plant, but for God's sakes, there's a hell of a lot more going on. All right? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 miles inland on the lowlands, following the little inlets and things off of the ocean. You know, I mean, it's total devastation. And so here we are. They've got tons and tons of people homeless and many of them injured and many dead and still many yet missing. Let's go into the article here. Again, at Sendai hospitals, victims go without painkillers and food. Can you imagine such a thing? Where's Big Pharma when you need them? Where's Frankenfood when you don't want them but would take it? By Kanako Matsuyama, writing for Bloomberg, two surgical operations were underway at the Tohoku University Hospital in the city of Sendai on March the 11th when Japan's strongest earthquake ever cut off the power. One was stopped and the patient stitched up. The other was completed with an in-house power generation. In the following, can you imagine? You're laying there on the operating table. Everybody's got, you know, the respirators going, you know, all that stuff. Everything you've seen on the television, everything's going on. And then all of a sudden, blank. The doctor's standing there with a knife in his hand, quivering. God. Lord help us. Anyway, one was stopped and the patient was stitched up. The other was completed. Well, put this one back in the refrigerator, bring him out tomorrow. In the following days, cancer patients were sent home because there was no medication for their chemotherapy. That's a blessing in disguise. More than 1,000 patients lived for 4 days on bread, canned corned beef, and dried biscuits. This said Mio Onodera, a 25-year-old nurse. There are no painkillers and intravenous tubes are being reused. Wow. Hello. Quote, we're doing things I can't even think of in normal times, close quote. Onodera said in a phone interview from Sendai, the hardest thing is to ask patients to put up with the pain. Wrap your mind around that, folks. I mean, let's not be heartless here on Friday. The hardest thing is to ask patients to put up with the pain. At the hospital in this coastal city of about 1 million, employees who lost family members care for elderly patients with dedication, said Katsutoshi Furukawa, a 50-year-old neurologist at Suzuki Memorial Hospital nearby. All division heads are sleeping on site and no one has showered for 6 days, said Nursing Division Chief Katie Yagahashi, 53. The hospitals of the Sendai region are on the front lines of Japan's gravest crisis since World War II. As interviews with six medical professionals in the region show, they're being stressed as never before. Doctors and nurses must treat injured quake victims, though there are few of them. Would you underline that for me? Though there are few of them, injured quake victims. Now, we've been reading various and sundry reports, some maybe 1,400, 1,500 people injured, some 1,700, 1,800 dead, 7,000 or 8,000 missing, and they're finding more bodies and more survivors on a regular basis here. So someday we'll have the numbers, but it won't be for a while yet. Again, doctors and nurses must treat injured quake victims, though there are few of them, as well as managing their ongoing caseload, scrounging food and water for employees and patients, and handling the psychological toll of being 96 kilometers or 60 miles from a possible nuclear meltdown. So Sendai is 60 miles up the coast from the, nuclear facility. And the nuclear facility is itself, about 150 miles from Tokyo. So we're starting to look at about a 200-mile stretch in here. Coastline. Avoiding the rain. Depending on the weather, staff are told to stand by at home because of the radiation risk, said Mika Chiba, 42, a nurse at Suzuki Memorial Hospital. Quote, it rained yesterday and we were told to keep from being exposed to rain, but we have to walk or bike to work because we don't have gasoline for our cars. The patients show great fortitude, said Onodera of Tohoku Hospital. Some drink as little water as possible to preserve scarce supplies. A cancer patient whose scheduled operation was postponed asked to leave the hospital because he felt guilty of occupying a bed. I don't know if you get that kind of cooperation in South Los Angeles, South Central. Anyway, though he was from a town some distance away, he left without anyone to pick him up, she said. You just get up, get out of bed. I'm going home. You feel guilty because you're occupying a bed, and you go home. And then you don't have a home when you get there. The quake victims display a variety of symptoms the day after the seism. And I don't know what seism is, S-E-I-S-M. What is it, some new word for tsunami? Onodera cared for patients with carbon monoxide poisoning from indoor coal fires because the power was turned off. Right? Now, that's a little bit of a problem down in Africa, too, where we're trying to gin up money and design for stoves, cooking stoves, for these people that can't quite figure out how to build a chimney. The following day, patients in cardiac arrest were brought to the emergency room, and a young psychiatric patient had to be treated with sedatives because she was afraid helicopters would fall on her. That's like getting out stressed out, isn't it? Had to be treated with sedatives because she was afraid helicopters would fall on her. A psychiatric patient. Wow. Other quake victims don't like to talk about their experiences. A woman at the Tohoku who lost a son and a daughter-in-law and was rescued from the wreckage of her buildings lies silently on her bed watching television. Wow.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Micro plant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again, looking at my calendar here. It seems to me that we've got a lunar, I think, perigee, is it? When the moon is at the closest to the Earth. Kind of confused, perigee versus apogee. Don't recall right off the top of my head which is the closest. Anyway, it's called the supermoon, full moon. That's tomorrow, folks. And then again, let's see. No, that's not tomorrow. Let's see. Yeah, it is. It's tomorrow, the 19th. And then on the 20th, spring, that's to be Sunday, spring begins. And so anyway, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion, a lot of things happening over the weekend. Certainly that for sure. But I'm trying to look at this, look at what's going on in Japan with a slightly different an eye. We've heard so much about this nuclear reactor to the exclusion of all else. But even though that's a nasty situation developing there, I think that the other problem with the earthquake and the tsunami, certainly anybody that lives in the Gulf Coast, anybody that lives in Texas, anybody that lives up the eastern seaboard in the south part of the country, anybody that's ever had to deal with severe storms, earthquakes, flooding, major floods, anybody in the Mississippi River Valley, I think you start to wrap your mind around a little bit of what's going on with the people in Japan, especially on the eastern seaboard in the northern portions of the country. We haven't heard anything from the outlying islands. No reports there at all. It's like Bloomberg just doesn't care, or nobody wants to report it. But the real challenge for most of these people is going to be trying to make a way out of no way as they go forward here. And as I've shared before, from an insurance standpoint, acts of God, you know, earthquakes and tsunamis, I think you're pretty much SOL. You're down to making the best out of the kindling wood you can find and starting over from scratch. And at this time, after so many years of financial hardship in Japan, I wonder how many of them would have a pot of gold or a rice window to throw it out of. Anyway, continuing, many professionals are again working without knowledge of whether their families are safe. Continuing, dropping down. At that, he was lucky some of the hospital staff members have siblings and parents who live in coastal areas struck by the tsunami where thousands are still said to be missing. Dead phones. They really want to go home, but there's no way to communicate because the phones are dead and no way of getting there. Now, you can see this article was basically written by somebody who had access inside and was able to move around inside this hospital, talking to the hospital staff, kind of getting a sense of what was happening from the standpoint of the injured and the dying, and then also the health providers. And so it's an interesting point of view for the article. Continuing, all they hear and see is devastating stories and scenes from the news. They all have heartbreaking looks while handling their duties very professionally. One colleague, he said, is from Kesennuma, K-E-S-E-N-N-U-M-A, a city that was hit by the tsunami and then burned. We never heard about that. Kesennuma. Or Kesennuma? hit by the tsunami and then burned. She was not able to contact her family and siblings, Furukawa said. While knowing the chances of them surviving are very unlikely, she attends her patients. She gives such kind words to the elderly ones, I can get a catch in my throat looking at her. While power and water are slowly being restored in the region, the hospital personnel are foregoing bathing to make more water available for the parents. It's been 6 days. I haven't even washed my face or hair or showered. I think we're all starting to smell. Staff people are cleaning their patients with disposable wet wipes. I think you got it bad in America, folks. You ain't seen nothing yet. Another article off Bloomberg, Jason Klenfield writing this. New news, Japan nuclear disaster caps decades of faked reports. I didn't dwell too long on this article, but it's an important article in that it shows a lot of the cover-up, or at least it indicates or intimates that there may be a lot of cover-ups, and there are in these various industries. Unfolding disaster at the Fukushima nuclear plant follows decades of falsified safety reports, fatal accidents, and underestimated earthquake risk in Japan's atomic power industry. There's a really fine line. We've been talking about these corporations and the trust. There's a really fine line between integrity and dishonesty, I'd have to say, especially from an engineering standpoint, from a design standpoint, from a construction standpoint, from a continuing operation standpoint, from a maintenance standpoint, and profits and losses, etc. All of those put together makes for a very difficult place to be. If you're a manager of a company, you want to make sure that your bottom line returns a sufficient profit to the employer so that you can continue to have your job. But at a certain point there, you blend in dishonesty that will some days bite you in the butt. Sometimes you can escape. You can leave the post and go on to another employer, you know, and work without it actually getting to you. And this article is going to bring out some of this. So the destruction caused by last week's 9.0 earthquake and tsunami come less than 4 years after a 6.8 quake shut the world's biggest atomic plant, also run by the Tokyo Electric Power Company. You've also heard it called TEPCO, T-E-P-C-O. TEPCO. In the 2002 and 2007 revelations, the utility had faked repair records, forced the resignation of the company chairman and president, and had a three-week shutdown of all 17 of its reactors. That doesn't sound good, does it? With almost no oil or gas reserves of its own, nuclear power has been a national priority for Japan since the end of World War II, and we might even say that it was part of what led Japan into World War II. A conflict the country fought partly to secure oil supplies. Japan has 54 operating nuclear reactors. That's quite a few, 54 reactors, more than any other country except the United States and France, to power its industries, pitting economic demands against safety concerns in the world's most earthquake-prone country. So you can imagine, if you're an engineering company or TEPCO or someone else, you've got this, you know, it's a gamble running all the time in the background, you know. At what point have you designed in enough safeguards to get you through what you anticipate to be the worst case scenario? And then, you know, when I was involved in that in the design business, you always like to use safety factors, 200% in some cases. If you're doing a bridge or something like that, you put tons and tons and tons of extra strength and reinforcement and attention upon the foundations for the pillars to the bridge, and then you can back off on the deck. You know, you want to make the lightest deck possible, resilient, you know, able to withstand vibration and all other things. But there's places that you can add and there's places that you can take away. But in the end, it has to be affordable. It has to be something that someone can actually build, you know. So it's a really fine line. It's a balancing thing. Nuclear engineers and academics who have worked in Japan's atomic power industry spoke in interviews of a history of accidents, fake reports, and inaction by a succession of liberal Democratic Party governments that ran Japan for nearly all of the post-war period. Perhaps in the past you've heard me refer to this phrase, OTF, Operation to Failure. Now, all across America, we've been hearing about all these horror stories about our infrastructure decaying and going to hell in a handbasket, which largely and in many places it is. But there's this idea of operation to failure. Let's say you have these nuclear reactors and you know that many of them 30, 35 years of age. What is the useful life of a nuclear reactor? At what stage do you begin the accumulation of monies and set aside so that you can be sure to take a reactor safely out of line and replace it with a newer model with better design, maybe improving on the design that you had before? At what stage does that happen? Or do you just operate it to failure? You wait until the damn thing melts down? These are some questions. Part of this is it's the blurring between economics and morality and ethics. Right? We need to go out and let our economic basket rule the day. And unfortunately, and especially in the big corporations, it does. Katsuhiko Ishibashi, a seismology professor at Kobe University, said Japan's history of nuclear accidents stems from an overconfidence in plant engineering. You might have gotten your degree, you might have really good calculators, you might have good designs, but in some things, like nuclear power, we don't have thousands of years of history on it. All right? Here we are, from World War II to today, what are we, 70 years out? That's not a hell of a lot of experience. You design something to last for 30 years. How many times have we been building houses? How long have we built houses? Pretty well know a house will last you at least 30 years. Should last you 100 years if you start out well. But how long will a nuclear plant last? And at what point do you want to plan to have it, pull it offline, pull it out of service? Time to upgrade it, rebuild it. So anyway. You don't set money aside, you know, a little 10% account, you know, you can set aside 10% of all you earn every year. Every 10 years, you could build a new plant, plus interest. Nuclear earthquake. In an interview in 2007 after Tokyo Electric's Kashiwazaki, a nuclear plant was struck by an earthquake. Ishibashi said fundamental improvements were needed in engineering standards for atomic power stations. What? 2007, Ishibashi said fundamental improvements were needed in engineering standards for atomic power stations, without which Japan could suffer a catastrophic disaster. That's back in 2007. Somebody should have listened to Ishibashi.
Citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moroni's called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Every day you hear the news. As an American citizen, I'm sure you're concerned. You may even feel like you have no control. Of course, you can't control things like natural disasters or the real estate meltdown, but these days a number of Americans are returning to the practice of being self-reliant by keeping food and water in reserve. That's why you need BeFoodReady.com. BeFoodReady.com has high-quality, delicious foods that are savable and storable. The foods are dehydrated, so all you need to do is add water. They're made from premium-grade fresh raw fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and other high-quality ingredients. Our stuff is awesome, and it's available in single packets for less than $2 a serving. When you buy it in the packs, it can be 91 cents or less, depending on the package that you're getting. And these foods can be stored for as long as 15 years. Log on to our website to watch a short video, learn about our food selections, how to start your own business, and how you can try 6 meals for free. Log on to BeFoodReady.com.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
And so, once again, let's go back into the article and go a little bit further. A question from the chat room. What about the passengers' planes coming and going with, you know, saying that there's radiation detection? And all I can say about that is I'm not there, don't know the details on that. But I wouldn't be surprised at all to discover a bit of hype in this, okay? Again, there's a lot of fear-mongering going on, and there's reasons for that. The Green Movement, we're going to get to a couple of those articles, hopefully. The Green Movement is really doing everything they can to pull out the stops on casting aspersions on the nuclear energy systems, okay? Realize this. Put this up on your tote board. This was one of the worst, you know, like a 9.0 magnitude earthquake followed by one of the worst tsunamis on record, all right? A 30-foot wave. And there's no amount of engineering. They certainly should have had it in their mind in engineering. Because of, you know, the track record of Japan, no doubt about it. But realize this, okay? It wasn't the earthquake and it wasn't the tsunami that did the trouble here, that did the damage. The damage was the stupidity of the design that put the standby backup generators in a basement room and put the fuel rods and stuff above the reactor. That's, you know, the it's an engineering difficulty. Whoever put those generators in the basement I'd be taken out and flogged, all right? What a stupid plan there when you're right at sea level. Where the hell do you think the water would go? Of course, it would go to the basement. A child would understand that. So I don't understand their design. I haven't seen the design drawings. I would certainly love to get my hands on the design drawings. Not that after the fact I could do anything, but at least be able to suggest you places where they've made mistakes in their design. And that's not in itself. That in itself is not totally unexpected. I've shared with you before on air one of the reasons why I decided to get out of engineering and land surveying, because it was becoming increasingly difficult to find qualified personnel, individuals, to hire. Lots of work available, but we couldn't get anybody that could design their way out of a paper bag. All right, they were coming out of the University of Washington and other schools, design schools, and they had every anticipation of coming in, you know, as middle management or something, just because they've gotten a degree in engineering. Well, it's a far cry from the garbage that they're fed at the schools. Not to say that every bit of the educational system is bad, but certainly from what I saw, they weren't teaching common sense. They were teaching power ties and how to dress for success. Yeah, wow, I'll tell you. You hire somebody and they graduated cum laude from Podunk U, the brightest chimpanzee in a class taught by a baboon. The best you have on Monday morning is a smart chimpanzee. No common sense, no ability to do things, you know, no way to check their own work. They had no conceptual, you know, comprehension of what engineering and civil engineering, land surveying, all that sort of stuff. They didn't really have any clue of what it was, but boy, they had the sheepskin. Anyway, and there may have been some of this going on. And what? How many years do they have to design these plants? If these plants here that are 37, something like that, years old, you know, they're coming in early in a new industry and a dangerous industry. But it wasn't any problem with the nuclear plant. The problem was with the standby generators that failed to continue to circulate the water. All right? Dumber than dirt. You would think that you could have a standpipe, all right, on these cooling ponds. And if you look on the internet, again, that slideshow that I had yesterday had some beautiful photographs of this number three reactor where they have the pool, the circulation, the cooling pond, the pool, for the fuel rods and the equipment that they used to put them in and take them out of the water. Beautiful photograph. I mean, this is not one of those, you know, cell phone grainy things. This was a photograph of somebody put up a tripod. The lighting was perfect. It was a gorgeous photograph. You know, the Japanese are really cool into this photography. Somebody that had a great skill in photography took that photograph. But it showed everything that you wanted to know about the situation, okay? But if they didn't have some kind of like a fire standpipe coming into this, into the bottom of that pool or however, and then out to a exterior setup so that you could just come up with a fire truck, pumper truck if you needed to, and you could, you know, add water to the pond just by opening some valves. My goodness, you know. You hear the stories. These guys are flying over the top with helicopters and shooting water cans. What a bunch of... I'm telling you. You know, I want to grab hold of the ear of this engineer and take him out back. Anyway, I'd certainly fire him. Continuing down the line here, we didn't learn anything, Ishibashi said in a phone interview this week. Nuclear power is national policy, and there's a real reluctance to scrutinize it. Well, yeah, we talked about that, you know, with the Macondo Gently Weeps, the Deepwater Horizon. You know, these guys are up there, and you know, Ken Salazar and the boys, and they're all, you know, on the payola and the graft. You know, go right back to Gustavus Myers, the History of Great American Fortunes. This has been a natural phenomena in government since the founding of this country, and I'm sure that the Japanese in the modern age, when they westernized, picked up the same garbage. Right, from us. There's a real reluctance to scrutinize it. On the one hand, you've got all of the rules and regulations from EPA and NEPA and the rest of them designed to keep all the competitors out to ensure corporate monopolization for the Sun King, British Petroleum, and Royal Dutch Shell and everybody else. And on the other side of the coin, even though they've got all these rules and regulations, the favorites... don't have to use them. They get a pass. And as we mentioned on Oracle Unleashed, Mike Chambers, myself, and Doug Owen on several occasions, you know, they didn't have the tools in the toolbox. All of this fumbling and fumbling and fumbling and all these experiments, you know, trying to cap that well off. They should never have been allowed a permit to drill if they didn't have the tools in their toolbox ready to respond to that kind of a disaster instantly. Not trying to reinvent the wheel in progress. Those tools need to be on hand. Whether it's Boots and Coots or whoever's got it, they need to have it on hand. I wouldn't give anybody a permit unless they could show, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they were prepared to deal with everything from subsurface to above the ocean level. If you can't follow that chain of responsibility all the way up, then that company has no business doing that work. Continuing, to be sure, Japan's record isn't the worst. The International Atomic Energy Agency, that's pretty much a joke, rates nuclear accidents on a scale of 0 to 7, with Chernobyl, I have to mention that, in the former Soviet Union, rated as a 7, the most dangerous. Fukushima, where the steel vessels at the heart of the reactor have so far not ruptured. All right? It's currently a Class 5, the same category as the 1979 partial reactor meltdown at Three Mile Island in the U.S. Okay, so now we got all the demons out in the article here. No Chernobyl. The key thing here is that this is not another Chernobyl, said Ken Brockman, a former director of nuclear installation safety at the IAEA in Vienna. Containment engineering has been vindicated. What has not been vindicated is the site engineering that put us on a path to the accident. The 40-year-old Fukushima plant, built in the 70s when Japan's first wave of nuclear construction began. You see, it was cutting-edge technology at the time. You can fault the guys in the rearview mirror, hindsight being 2020, but it was, you know, cutting-edge technology at the time. Stood up to the country's worst earthquake on March 11th, only to have its power and backup generators knocked out by the 7-meter tsunami that followed. Lacking electricity to pump water needed to cool the atomic cores, engineers had to vent the radioactive steam into the atmosphere to release pressure, leading to a series of explosions that blew concrete walls around the reactors. All right, now if you go up again, I wish we were doing video or something here. Look at that slideshow that was out there on the web. Maybe during the break at the top of the hour, I'll see if I can pull that up and I can give you the URL for it. But if you look at it, you'll see that there's a steel frame in these reactor buildings, and the parts of the building that blew out were concrete panels. All right, these are like probably precast, swung into place, bolted into place with bolts, precast concrete panels that formed the outer walls of the building. And when the steam was released to atmosphere, it blew those concrete panels. They may have even been breakaway or blowaway panels. You'd think the engineers would think to do so. And the roofing off the building, all right? It just takes the roof and that top core of panels around the cooling ponds off so that it gets the atmosphere that it needs to have to keep the situation under control. Radiation readings spiked around the Fukushima as the disaster widening, forcing the evacuation of 200,000 people and causing radiation levels to rise on the outskirts of Tokyo, 135 miles to the south with a population of 30 million. Well, we'll talk about the basement generator a little bit more on Fukushima right after the top of the hour break. Stay tuned. Hour number two, straight ahead.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, March the 18th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Now entering our second hour, we've got a caller in line from Washington. Let's go right out to Washington and say good morning to Jim.
How you doing, Mr. Roberts?
Doing well. Yourself?
Very good. Listen, I wanted to ask you a question about the economics of the Japanese devastation. I don't have the horsepower, and I thought that maybe you could answer this. In light of Japan having over $1 trillion in U.S. Reserve currency in regard to our dollar, with this devastation, does this make our dollar stronger? And also, in the sense that basically Japan's economy is cannibalized, and that dollar has to come online. And also, Geithner, a couple of days ago, he said that he was pretty much in favor of a dual dollar yuan Chinese-backed world currency. So what is the economics of the devastation in regard to our U.S. dollar?
Well, that's a really good question, and I would probably have to say that I'm not qualified to really wax economic on the situation. But from what I've seen, the Japanese said they were going to dump in. It was a figure in the trillions of yen, but it comes out to 181 billion U.S., I believe, if my memory serves me right. They were going to chip up 181. It's like a quantitative easing program. Now, that's 181 billion U.S. Whether that 181 billion U.S. that they're going to throw in is treasuries, and whether they'll come back to the U.S. to get the money, or they'll make the acquisitions for lumber and supplies and building material and nuclear reactors and parts and pieces, whether they come to the U.S. to get that and buy it, and in that way use it, that I don't know how the details will work. Would it make the U.S. dollar stronger? Well, we've seen what it's been doing to the stock market. We've seen a little bit of up and down in the dollar. I don't think anything's going to make the dollar stronger because the dollar just is unsupportable, all right, the way that it stands right now. What's going to be the devastation in all of this, however, is that, hell or high water on the Fukushima nuclear reactor, you're not going to get away from the financial turmoil that the nation has been thrown into with all of these houses and all of these automobiles and all of these fishing vessels and all of the infrastructure that's going to need to get rebuilt. Now, if you take that $181 billion and think of yourself, Jim, as your Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and we're going to go out there and do a CCC, a Conservation Corps, and a Cleanup Corps, and a Rebuilding Corps, and we're going to do all these corps out there. And we're going to underwrite it with money. We can put a lot of the Japanese to work rebuilding and digging out, and it'll be years before they get this thing cleaned up. So will they have internally a more prosperous economy? They might. Will they be able to weather the storm? Not really, because they're using borrowed money again. So they'll be busy, but I think they may be busy going even further and further into debt. Does that get anywhere close to answer your question?
Yeah, that's definitely helpful. Listen, in the commodities, and I hate to be kind of a evil investor, but I'm looking at all these cars and steel, aluminum, copper. I'm looking at all these commodities, and I'm thinking, is there a way of making money since, now the world's been flooded with all this cheap aluminum and steel and copper? Is there a way of betting against the commodities, shorting it, so to speak, to where I can make some money out of this devastation?
Well, copper is definitely going to be on the upswing because all of those houses are going to have to be rebuilt again. But they're using so much aluminum now in residential wiring that, copper and aluminum, even lumber, might be interesting in that regard. I would look real carefully at the marketplace. Typically, there are places where you can invest. Now, one of the places, and we're going to go into a break when we come back, we'll talk about it, but one of the places would be to look at the construction companies that are now going to come online to do the repairs. So hold on. We'll be right back, Jim, after this break.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, March the 18th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Now in our second hour of today's broadcast, I want to welcome back Micro 1650 AM Tonawanda. In our second hour, Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650, of course, AM Tonawanda, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 100.1 FM, Austin, Texas, Real Liberty Media, Channel 16, TalkStream Live. So many out there, they're broadcasting this to their local audiences. Thank you, gentlemen, for doing so. Now in our second hour, we've got a caller online from Washington. We're looking at, well, what are the profits? What are the possibilities for making a return on your investment on this series of disasters that are befalling not only the Japanese people, but around the world? And, Jim, one of the things that really is an axiom that we can understand is find a need and then fill it. And sometimes you can find that need and fill it without necessarily, you know, investing in commodities. Certainly there's going to be a building boom unparalleled in years in Japan in the aftermath of this damage. So there's lots of different places where, you know, you may be able to invest. I don't know, Caterpillar stocks might do pretty well. The cleanup is going to be unbelievable. Maybe there's a specialty company out there that deals with big rigging and cranes to lift these fishing boats up that are inland and bring them back to water and get them righted again. Maybe there's a ship repair company that is going to be moving facilities into that area, and you could buy stock in them. Some of the miners are going to do really well at this time, but simple things like sand and gravel and concrete and rebar, lumber, plywood, framing materials, roofing supplies, Siemens, electrical outlets and boxes and all of those sorts of things, telephone media companies, all of those are going to be in a boom. Think about the Homestead hurricane and the devastation that went down in Florida. I have a person that lived next door to me in a great grand hacienda castle on the hill on a big farm, who made millions of dollars as a contractor, starting out from just a guy with a pickup truck and a couple of fellas to a big company, rebuilding after that devastation. So, yeah, there's a lot of money that's going to be made. And if you can find a need and fill it, let progress run right over the top of you, you could probably fill your pockets up.
Yeah, are you still there?
Certainly am.
I had sort of a geopolitical economic question. I kind of watch these world leaders, and this particular fella, Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, I'm seeing him making movements towards the Kuril Islands, what the Japanese call their northern territories.
Yes.
And I'm suspecting that he's going to give, in Japan's knee, he's going to give those islands back. How could you make a profit off Russia returning those islands that they took after World War II, if that is going to become a reality? How do you calculate that kind of geopolitical economic question?
Well, one of the things that I would not lose sight of right now, and that is that we're really likely to go into a major military expansion in the near and the Middle East. Okay. They've got Gaddafi coming. I've got an article on the browser for that. But they've got Gaddafi coming up for a regime change with the no-fly zone. That means aerial strikes. They're going to be knocking out his military on the ground, and a considerable amount going on there. Whether there's a financial advantage to Russia, or whether they're just being generous, kind, and making a gift in regards to the Kuril Islands, that's another question, the one that I hadn't thought of. I'll certainly give it some thought over the weekend. But how do you profit? Again, you know, it's like Will Rogers says, you buy land, buy lots of it, and you buy land, you know, it's all the three L's, location, location, location. You buy land in the path of progress and then let progress run over the top of you. So if you've got a land area like this that has been under Russian rule for a long time, you can anticipate it being very, very depressed. And so if Japan is interested in expanding into that area and doing something with them, again, development companies there and exploration companies there, their stock shares should probably prosper at this time. But that's just hypothetical on my part, a conjecture.
Thank you so much, Mr. Rogers. You got the horsepower. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling in this morning. And let's go to Missouri and talk this morning to Sam in Missouri. Good morning, Sam.
Hey, how are you? Well, sounding great as usual here on Liberty Radio, and appreciate your broadcast as always. I called in based on the last caller there because one thing that kind of concerns me is this whole idea of this profiting off of disasters. I mean, now granted, it does take people to go in and rebuild things after disasters. But to me, when we start looking at how we can always maximize profits off of disasters, I think that puts us in a very, very dangerous area. And at this point, who are we to complain about all the wars that continually are stirred up all over the world if we're going to do that as well? Because basically, isn't it all Halliburton and all these companies are doing? It's just making a maximum profit off these wars and stuff.
And actually creating the crisis to profit from, you know. And I'm completely in agreement with you on that, Sam, because, you know, I don't like basically the idea of profiting off of another man's losses. But in this particular situation where you have the natural disasters, if they were natural, even if they weren't, the idea, if you look at some of the, as I've seen a lot of the photographs, Sam, you wouldn't believe some of the slideshows. I mean, this is like they put the homes, the cities, the towns in a Vegematic and just put it on high speed like a blender. That place has been absolutely devastated. And it's all, you can imagine, you take everything in your house and take it out in the yard and then turn a hose on it and then try and figure out what you've got left. That's what their lives are going to be like. I mean, even the removal, they're going to have incinerators constructed to burn the stuff. These wet, soggy blankets and everything like that's going to have to be incinerated. I think there might be a way to, if someone could come up with some kind of a shredder that you could even begin to recompose some of the lumber and some of the paper products and things like. Maybe if you could recycle, you might make a big profit off of recycling the debris, you know. But yeah, to go out to intentionally profit off another man's loss, that's kind of it wouldn't be something that would be in my mind. But certainly the ability to help others, if you render a high enough service, oftentimes compensation follows.
Right, yeah, and I don't want to be misunderstood here, Will. I understand it takes money to make things happen, unfortunately. You know, you got to have the fuel to get into these places. You got to have the basic tools to get in there and do what you need to do. But I'm just saying it's a very thin line before it starts getting into the point of not only profiting off somebody's devastation, but there certainly is a lot of room in these things, given the state of our society today and the decay. There's a lot of room, as you kind of pointed out there a while ago, to create crises for maximum profit. And this is exactly what we've got going on with, certainly in my opinion, some of the disasters we've seen, that where everywhere the disasters have occurred, Agenda 21 has been promoted, because, you know, out of crises comes the solution, and the solution is, in a lot of cases today, the dialectic process. And so... You know, and this is also where I think we're going to get hurt in the end, as far as relying on technologies that are not going to fulfill the void that's going to be left by these things we abandon.
Yep. Hold it right there, Sam. We're going into the break. I'll bring you up on the other side.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
A wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moronis called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Every day you hear the news. As an American citizen, I'm sure you're concerned. You may even feel like you have no control. Of course, you can't control things like natural disasters or the real estate meltdown, but these days a number of Americans are returning to the practice of being self-reliant by keeping food and water in reserve. That's why you need BeFoodReady.com. BeFoodReady.com has high-quality, delicious foods that are savable and storable. The foods are dehydrated, so all you need to do is add water. They're made from premium-grade fresh raw fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and other high-quality ingredients. Our stuff is awesome, and it's available in single packets for less than $2 a serving. When you buy it in the packs, it can be 91 cents or less, depending on the package that you're getting. And these foods can be stored for as long as 15 years. Log on to our website to watch a short video, learn about our food selections, how to start your own business, and how you can try 6 meals for free. Log on to BeFoodReady.com.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And once again, when we look at the moral decay in the planetary orb that we live on, there is a very, very fine line, you know, between, let's say, evil intent and meaning well or doing right things. You know, there's a difference between morals, as the moral and the ethic underpinning of someone that would go into a place, let's say, like Sendai, devastated by a tsunami. with the intent of getting people back into their homes as quickly as possible and getting the streets opened up again and leveled out and all the breaks and cracks and things like that filled in. There's also from the standpoint of being able to do it as quickly as you could and do the best possible work, because every single day that somebody is displaced and living in a tent or living in town in a hotel or something like that, that's another day of agony and bad memories, and the sooner you can get them installed in their own homes again and get their lives coming back as well as possible, the better, you know? And then also we've got, and Sam, you brought it up when we talk about Agenda 21. As I mentioned, I think earlier, maybe as early as Wednesday, we need to look at these towns and cities that are in these flood zones, in the tsunami zones, a tide flats. The tide flats, they're just off of the ocean. If they implement the international building codes in that area, they may very well, through the hazard mitigation planning system and from the pressure of the insurance and the reinsurers, they may not allow people to rebuild in those areas. They may force them to move all up high ground into these new stack 'em and pack 'em sustainable development cities. And so there's just a gob and a bunch going on, but with that much devastation and that much activity, some people are bound to profit. And I wouldn't begrudge any person that's in the free market their profit for taking advantage of that situation, would you?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously it takes money to make things work. I understand that. And anybody who's going to go out and work for a living, obviously, you do a good job. You know, as the typical analogy I like to use is I go, let's say you have an eating establishment. I go and eat at your establishment. I like the food you serve. I pay the bill. You make some profit off of it. That's how you make a living. I'm happy with what I got in there, and we all shake hands, and everybody's fine. The thing we just have to be very, very careful about is that doesn't become our central motive, because once you get to that point, this is when you get into situations like where you have people manipulating things to make maximum profits so that the profits just absolutely go through the roof. And then, of course, that raises the prices of things so that, it becomes unaffordable to large amounts of people. And then, of course, you've got the never let a good crisis go to waste mentality out there. And I'm just saying that we live in an age where if we're not careful, we can succumb to some very evil mentalities here if we're not careful. I mean,
sure, exactly. And I mean, look at it from the standpoint of a restaurateur. You know, what is his goal? His goal, if he's at all a restaurateur and has an interest in continuing to do such, his profit is made when he has satisfied customers. He's providing quality meals at prices that the people will come and pay. Now, you know, just use a Bible analogy. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. If he was sitting there thinking about, how can I cut the corner here? How can I cut corners here? I'm going to have these great shrimp cocktails, and I'm buying all of my shrimp, and I know that I got them out of the Gulf, and they're probably contaminated, but the people won't die while they're eating. I'm going to have a great deal, a big shrimp all-you-can-eat bar, and that'll draw the people in, and then I'll cut corners on everything else using various and sundry GMO foods. And the only thing that he's thinking about is the profit at the end of the day. I would say that that's probably the intent that we don't want to see. But like I mentioned before, the other intent is another. Here's another place where I find an evil in an evil, and that is like you take the Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, all the rest of them, and they're out here running their foreclosure mills, foreclosing people out of their house, and then they're right back in picking those houses up, and they want to put them back on the market again and cover up their the broken title that they have. To me, that's evil with the intent to commit evil. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't even want to suggest, I'm not trying to beat up on the last caller. He might not even meant the way it came out. But the point I'm making out of all this is it acted as a springboard to point out how we have to be so careful. And I'm not trying to be so super self-righteous. We've all made mistakes in our life, but just as I've gotten older, and I guess part of the reason that I see the force for the trees on this wilt so much is because as a person who has a disability, I have a visual disability, I would see these things because I've been taken advantage of plenty of times.
Oh, yeah.
And I know what it's like. And so having been taken advantage of, I would probably have more of a propensity to see this than somebody who wouldn't be in the position that I'm in. And that's simply all I'm saying. And so I've learned to be wise, and I've also learned the attitude that if I don't want somebody harming me, then I don't go out and harm them. I treat others the way I want to be treated, and I try to do that in everything that I do. And are we perfect at it? No. Sometimes we make mistakes. But the point of the matter is, you always keep that as your motto. You're going to get a lot further ahead in life, and you're certainly going to have a lot of people alongside you that you can work with, and that can become contagious. Because let's face it, we've all been raised in the public fool system. A lot of us, certainly, I know I have, certainly in the state schools. And the problem is, unless you've got a teacher or somebody in your class that sees the problems that are on the horizon, we've all been taught with this kind of ends justifies the means mentality. And of course, what are those schools? Well, they're government schools. Well, the problem with that is that once you get that attitude in motion in society, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, which creates a need for whom? In most people's mind, it creates a need for the very people that help create it through the curriculum that they're teaching.
Exactly. And then you can't, we can't get away from what the downside of the educational system is, because we live inside of the body, if you will, of the people that were educated there. So it rolls over into everything, our behavior, our attitudes, our marketing, the stores, the shopkeepers, the churches, every place. They're all infected with it because they went to school there. Now, one last example, then I'm going to move along here, but one last example is,
yeah,
think about the Afghanistan, all right? And so why are we in Afghanistan? Well, for a variety of reasons. One of them is to make sure that this oil pipeline is in place and is protected the entire length of the route. Also, another one is to get black ops money through the sale and growing of heroin and things like that. And yet a third, which has come out recently, even though people have known about their existence, at least now they're being public, now they're talking about all of the rare earth minerals of wealth that's available in Afghanistan. Now, if our listeners were to go out, rush out, and invest in rare earth mineral mining concerns that are coming into Afghanistan on such an evil precept, as far as I'm concerned, that I would think would be a moral or an ethical question. You see what I'm saying? Whereas if you were to investing in rare earth minerals mining companies in Colorado, that's a whole other story.
Oh, absolutely, Will. But that's really all I had. I just, I guess kind of felt I couldn't just leave that be without calling in, because, it's so easy to get caught up in this. It's easy for all of us. In fact, I could just tell you, having served my time and serving on local government, I had to be careful that I didn't wind up being swept away by a lot of the stuff that's going on, with all the agendas and stuff. You have to constantly be on guard that you don't wind up becoming the same problem as what you're fighting. And it's something we all have to constantly work at.
Absolutely.
And that's all I got, Will.
All right. Thanks for calling in this morning. Okay, that's it with Sam. Good call there. We'll be back right after this break. Your calls are welcome. 866-841-1065.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere. Even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So once again, very interesting discussions this morning, and they're very valid on both sides of this. Certainly the idea of intent plays huge in this discussion. You know, as they say, it's the love of money which is the root of all evil. And so if you're looking, you know, at pure base return, you know, that could be, you know, there's questions in there. You've got to be so careful. But at the other side of the coin, if you are really wanting to maximize your returns on your investments, you're always searching for that need. You're always looking for that need, and then you want to fill that need. And a long, long time ago, I learned from a real estate broker the idea that you wanted to provide the greatest amount of service in the least amount of time and the least amount of inconvenience to your client as possible. And if you were always doing that, they would, through word of mouth and through other things, they would bring more and more and more work to you, and more that obviously, which would translate into greater return on your time invested. And so that was the real fundamental thing: is how, at what level is the service that I'm providing? And so we could look at the reconstruction, the redevelopment of those areas in Japan that have been devastated, or any place else. There's still lots of work to be done in the Gulf of Mexico, and find that need and then fill it. And in the process of doing it, allow your passion to be in the service rendered and in filling that need. And just, you know, you look at it like, the numbers in the bank account are going to continue to go up. And the greater the service you're rendering, the more those numbers are likely to go up. You know, it's, so it's kind of almost an axiom. So anyway, I'm just kind of fumbling around. That wasn't really a topic for today. We could go into that in great detail at another time. But just some ideas right off the top of my head. I certainly don't have any mental, moral, or other restriction against profit. I think that in a free enterprise system, those entrepreneurs that can see the need and can step up, whether you know it's McCormick and you come up with a combine or a hay mower or a better tractor or a better mousetrap or a faster computer, whatever, you find that need and you fill it, and then just watch as progress rushes to your door. And you will. Your coffers should, if you're organized correctly and you're set up for it, you should reap a handsome return on your investment, as I believe you ought. You know, you provide a big service. Don't be surprised if the rewards follow right along with it. On the other hand, you've got all the hankeringers out there, and they're always looking for a handout, and that's a whole different story. Gaddafi, troops near Benghazi may face air attack soon. All right, Bloomberg again, new news. French and British leaders began preparing for possible strikes against Libya. And, of course, this is going to drive up the petroleum. A lot of what I think we're seeing right now with this nuclear problem in Japan is a dialectic. A thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. All right? What's the synthesis? The synthesis in this time period, in addition to the green energy movement, which is really just, as we've been reporting, people are dropping their stock shares, they're getting out of the carbon exchanges and so on. They're on the ropes. All right? They know that they've got a losing proposal. But the other thing that's going on here, we can't, you know, take the geopolitical, you know, viewpoint, the vantage point, as Michael Vail says, realize that for the last couple of years we've been hearing nothing but saber rattling and agitation from Israel against Iran. All right, now Iran's got to feel pretty much on the hot seat. We've got all of this, nation building. Democracy building going on in their neighbor to the west with Iraq, and then on their opposite flank in Afghanistan, well, we've got the United States in there, saber rattling and doing far more than that, and Pakistan to the south, and Iran's kind of like caught between Iraq and a hard place, pun intended, all right? And so in this, they've been against this Ahmadinejad and their nuclear program. So let's go ahead and vilify hell out of nuclear right now and scare the bejesus out of the people on the planet, and then we can paint Ahmadinejad as the great Satan and the next Hitler, and that he's threatening the planet with nuclear development, even though in Japan they've got some 50-plus nuclear power plants, and the United States has got plenty, and France has got plenty, and everybody else does. But let's deny nuclear power. I mean, you go all the way back. Bernard Baruch, first head of the United Nations Nuclear Powers Bunch, and realized that when they created that system, they held in abeyance the keys to nuclear development. Only those that are in favor with the globalist get to have the key to nuclear power. If you don't, then you're kept in Stone Age and entirely dependent upon petroleum, which they also have locked up through Aramco and other devices. Right? And don't you dare use your own natural resources. Do not become a self-reliant country. No. The United States cannot get all of the oil and natural gas that it needs from our own supplies. No. The people of the United States have to be draped over the crude oil barrel and have their stovepipes reamed every time you go to the gas station, because these batards want to continually escalate the price and make scarcity out of something that is abiotic, in my opinion, researched as it is, and is in superabundance, you know, such as the Lord provides, if you could say it that way. But anyway, Gaddafi's coming under fire here, and it looks to me like we're about to go into another theater. We'll have Afghanistan, we'll have Iraq, we'll have more agitation going in Pakistan, and now we'll have Libya. And I mean, I don't know whether I really should do it or not. Well, maybe at the break I'll go grab my notepad. It's in my other office. But, I heard a broadcast last night with Jerome Corsi, and it was unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. Talk about a Zionist. This guy really scares me anymore. But he's here in about a 3-minute segment. No, I'll save it. I think it's worth it. I'll go grab it in a moment. But we've got people that are really just ringing the bell for Israel right now, the Zionist community. And so this Gaddafi thing is going to work out for their advantage. Watch as we expand the horizons of this war in the Middle East, in the near and the Middle East, and in Africa. Watch as this continues to escalate. And, I mean, we could be in a time right now where, you know, the greatest profit that you could have would be to duck and cover under the kitchen table. I mean, I don't know where this is all going, but it doesn't all look good to me. But let's talk about solar for a minute. Solar rally might fizzle after nuclear accident hysteria, investors say. All right, experts say. Again, this is Bloomberg. I always go to the Bloomberg website, and there's so much material here that even, you know, in 3 hours of research every morning in a two-hour broadcast, I can't even keep up with this one. I can't imagine, you know, Doug Owen and Lee Rogers and Mike Chambers and the others, you know, going out and aggregating news from the whole world. It would be beyond my ability to comprehend it. But Christopher Martin, writing this for Bloomberg, the rally in solar shares after Japan's atomic accident may fizzle because the crisis won't quickly boost demand for renewable power. We talk about sustainable development here all the time. Agenda 21, can't hardly go through a broadcast without discussing it. It is the program of action for the 21st century. But when I studied it years ago and really went through that whole, you know, Agenda 21, the biodiversity assessment, all the documents that go along with that, Club of Rome, all the other stuff that goes into that, years of study. But as I was going through that, I was trying to find, well, if I were to express to you or to a stranger, what is sustainable development? I boil it down to one word and one word only, and that word is demand. It's an economic issue. It has nothing to do with the environment. Nothing at all. And what are we talking about? What demand? What we need to do in order to be sustainable, in order to have a sustainable development, we need to sustain or prop up or shore up demand for what? For the environmental and developmental concerns. We're talking about trust. We're talking about corporations. We're learning the language of trust and the language of corporations. But a concern has, up until recently, when the hanky-ringing and all the Bugs and Bunny groups came out, up until recently, a concern was always understood as a business. And so when you look at an environmental and developmental concern with that perspective, then you can see that those companies out there, like the Sun Lord, you know, British Petroleum and all the rest of that, these are environmental and developmental concerns. Boots and Coots, Halliburton, Kellogg Brown and Root, you know, Monsanto and all the rest of them. These are environmental and developmental concerns. And the purpose of sustainable development is to prop up and shore up and make sure that there's always demand for their products. That's all it is. But it is a vast geopolitical move towards global governance, the GIS, GPS, Global Governance System. We talk about Star Wars technology, Space Wars. GIS, the Geographic Information System. You can go back and find in the Bible. It's counting every hair on your head, every grain of sand, every blade of grass, every cow in the field, and all the chattel in Chicago. That's GIS. Where are all the bridges? Where are all the waterways? Where's all the high-speed internet connections? Where's the routers? Where's the hubs? Where are all the smart meters? GIS. And then GPS. You know, so it's GIS/GPS. What's GPS? That's Geographic Positioning or Geospatial Positioning Systems. Talk about that more on the other side.
The Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
And so having listened to International Shortwave here in my own home sets and stuff like that, from just a simple little Grundig tabletop all the way up to Hallicrafter's SX99 75-watt all-tube long-wire receiver, for years, starting back at the first Gulf War forward, I've listened to a lot of voices over the years, and on the internet radio too, and I like to listen most of the time in my waking hours to all of these various broadcasts. I listen all over the world. I listen to a lot of the talk people. And I listen carefully and also take notes, as many of you know. But here's some notes that I got last evening. I'm not going to mention the other fellow, but it's not necessary because these are not his words. And this was an interview with Dr. Corsi, Jerome Corsi. Many of you have heard him talk before. And I heard him start out in this interview. And so I just started to listen and write down. Now listen to the words. It won't take long. Radical Islam, Israel War for Survival, Egyptian Brotherhood, Hamas, radical created by the Egyptian Brotherhood, Radical Islam, Mubarak, longtime ally of U.S. and Israel, Radical Islam, Israel, bought up military, who is going to protect Israel from an attack by Egypt, Sunni Radical Islam, Egyptian Brotherhood, Islamist Hamas, Iran press for southern border, threatening Israel, Israel survive, God preserve Israel, Jordan, Ezekiel, Gog, Magog, Russia and Iran, God intervenes, anti-Israel, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Iran destroy Israel, Sunnis, Iran, Israel can't wait, which is a book, with the interview with the head of Mossad, Israel can't wait to go to war, Obama abandoning Israel, Israel nuclear war, Iran developing nuclear war, Iran nuclear war, Israel can't sustain that threat, and then Japan, and then they went in to talk about the economy. Some of you heard about predictive programming. It's not so much you know, it's not so much the other, whether he does good work or whether he doesn't. I've met him personally. Sat in a restaurant bar, hotel bar with him one evening, bought him a Guinness Stout. It's not so much that he's not on top of things, but you can understand why I'm concerned about what's going down with Gaddafi when you know that we have people that have this focus in mind. I mean, I haven't heard that kind of, you know, you don't want to talk about a word link, come out of anybody's mouth in a long time. You know, every time I heard any of those words, I just wrote them down in the order that they came up. And that was about a 3 to 5 minute segment on the broadcast, by the way. Where's the focus? Is this the United States or is it Israel? Who's agitating for war? What is this big deal here about the best enemies that money can buy when it comes to radical Islam, the Islamic Brotherhood, the Egyptian Brotherhood, and all of that? They're troubling. Troubling word string out of the mouth of somebody that has the ear of so many and publishes books left and right annually, almost. But again, back to nuclear meltdowns and this dialectic, all right? We've got this beautiful dialectic that's being created here. Not only is the solar reality fizzling after the nuclear accident hysteria, investors say, solar rally might fizzle. So they thought that maybe, you know, if you want to take the conspiratorial view of history, which I like to do from time to time, especially because these generators didn't kick off and run in the basement. Not because there was a problem with the nuclear plant, but because the generators didn't kick off and run. One of the articles that I read, the generators ran out of gas. Amazing. What's up with all of that? Failures in designs. But not so much that. But it wasn't because there was a problem with nuclear power, nuclear energy, or the other plants, even though they're aging. Maybe it's time to upgrade them all. Maybe they need to rethink them from the standpoint of earthquakes, and you can be sure that they did. And siting and locations. You know, in Israel, there's a power plant that's right on the coast there, too, of the Mediterranean Sea. It gets its cooling water right out of the sea. But we're having another problem going on the side, and that is that this thrust for green energy, green jobs, remember that? Green shoots. That was supposed to jumpstart the whole planet. You know, Jeffrey Immelt selling his little CFL bulbs. That was supposed to restart the world, right? Well, the rally in solar shares after Japan's atomic accident may fizzle because the crisis won't quickly boost demand for renewable power. Investors, including First Empire Asset Management's Michael Bushke, said, quote, the hysteria that helped run up solar stocks was not warranted by the damage in Japan. Down the road, it may lead to policy changes and the restoration of incentives, but I don't see that happening yet. Let's go into it a little further. While the incident triggered speculation, governments will scale back nuclear power in favor of renewables, solar panel demand is stagnating. Installations worldwide will climb 2.7% to 18.9 gigawatts this year after more than doubling last year. It continues. Government decisions needed to push up demand faster aren't likely to be made this year, said Tucker Twitmire, who helps manage $400 million in clean energy investments at Enertech Capital Partners. Solar is still so dependent upon government incentives, I don't think we'll see any real boost to sales in the short term, Twitmire said. From the fund's base in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania, the real winners will be natural gas and energy efficiency. For now, stocks are surging. Tempe, Arizona-based firm First Solar, the world's biggest supplier of thin-film panels, climbed to 10%, and China's China Solar Limited rose 15%. Since the accident, Fukushima Daiichi. Germany has idled 7 reactors and set up review plans to extend the life of other plants. All right? They know they got a failing investment running on here. Let's go to another one along the same line in the closing minutes. First Solar to build $300 million module plant in Arizona. First Solar, the world's largest manufacturer of thin film solar modules, plans to build a $300 million factory in Arizona. There's green jobs. The factory will be able to produce up to 250 megawatts of solar panels a year, Tempe, Arizona-based First Solar said today. There's a stock you could invest in, right? Here's another one, Hutchison Whampoa. Let's jump over and look at these guys, see what's happening with this. We're not going to have a chance to go into trusts and venues today. We'll save the rest of that for Monday. Hutchison Ports did trust. Hutchison Ports Trust. I wanted to end the news on this and then go into trust because we're talking about trust. So here's a trust. The Hutchison Port Trust declines on trading debut after the biggest IPO, that's an initial public offering, this year. Kyungi Park, writing this for Bloomberg, new news. Hutchison Port Holdings Trust fell on its trading debut following the world's largest initial public offering this year as investors sold unit priced before an earthquake in Japan roiled the Asian markets. The container terminal owner. Now, Hutchison Whampoa, can you say Panama Canal? How about the big port there in San Diego? All right. The container terminal owner, backed by billionaire Li Ka-shing, dropped 5.9% to close at 95 cents. Units were sold at $1 in the $5.5 billion IPO, which was priced on March the 11th, the day of the earthquake. Interesting timing, wouldn't you say? The MSCI Asia Pacific Index was set for its biggest weekly drop since May as investors offloaded stocks on concerns that electricity shortages and radiation leaks from a crippled nuclear power plant may disrupt production in Japan. HPH Trust owns container terminals in Hong Kong and neighboring Shenzhen. Given the weak market sentiment, I'm not surprised at the performance, they said. Nico Assets bought some of Hutchison Ports units in the IPO, NG said, without elaboration. Considering the situation, I think it's excellent, blah, blah, blah. Trust chairman Canning Fok said about the price movement at a listing ceremony in Singapore. The earthquake's impact is minimal, he said, on the trust assets. Trust. How much trust can we put into these trusts? Do they deserve our trust, our money, and our future? Can we allow this impenetrability of the corporate veil to continue to rule in the 21st century? Is it time to rethink the antitrust movement, the anti-monopoly movement, once again? Is there an upward limit to intergenerational accumulation of wealth to the point where they are too big not only to fail, but too big to allow to continue, where they have so much power that they can influence the outcomes all over the planet? Well, food for thought. Thanks for being with us this week. I'll be back again on Monday. Hope you will be too. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about ExtendoVite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know ExtendoVite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from ExtendoVite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
A wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moroni's called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Looking for news and real information? You found it.
You found it.
This is OracleBroadcasting.com.